on that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. Let's pray. Father, we thank you now for your goodness and your mercy. We pray that you give us wisdom, be with our tongue and our mind. Lord, help us to teach in sincerity, simplicity, and truth. It might be edifying to the hearer and glorifying to the name of Christ. We'll ask it in his name. Amen. Now, we're continuing a series we're doing on Wednesday night, the Bible Questions Answered. Of course, we're going to do 60 questions or thereabouts, maybe one or two over 60. And they are in no particular order. I just wrote them down as they popped in my mind. And that's the way we're going to teach them. Now, we are trying to give you a biblical and a scriptural answer to these questions. We are not trying to teach you everything there is to know about the subject discussed. We're just trying to give you enough scripture and enough reason so that you'll see what the correct answer is. And then if you want to pursue it in more depth or in more detail, you'll have a good scriptural place to start to do your own research. If we were to give exhaustive answers to all the questions, we'd be here till Jesus comes. Okay? And so you say, if I get through answering a question, you say, well, you didn't say this, or you should have said that, or what about so-and-so? It's because we're not trying to answer every objection you can think of. We're trying to give you a biblical basis for what we believe and why we believe it, and give you a good place to begin your own research so that you can come to the right conclusion on your own. Okay? All right, now the first question tonight is, what should children be taught about church? And of course, we took 1 Timothy 3:15 as our text because it had in there a phrase that says that thou mayest knowest how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God. And children need to be taught. And of course, I've learned in the last few years a lot of adults need to be taught how to behave in church. A lot of adults these days lounge around and lay around and play around and jump up and down and get up and go out of the service three or four times. That's the most aggravating thing in the world for a preacher. I mean, I can't believe that under normal circumstances somebody can't sit still for 45 minutes. That they got to jump up two or three times in 45 minutes and run back and get a drink of water or go cough or scratch themselves or whatever it is they're doing. You know, I mean, it just, you disrupt the whole service. When you get up and start moving around, everybody in the building's got their eyes on you, and they quit listening to the preacher. But we're talking about children. Children need to be taught what church is about, why they come to church, and what's expected of them while they're at church. Now, that teaching ought to come from two places. It ought to come from mom and dad. Of course, that presumes that mom and dad know how to behave, and that they have the right slant on church attendance. And secondly, it ought to come from the preacher. Of course, you can't teach all that a person needs to know about church attendance and that kind of thing at one fell swoop. But over a period of time, the preacher ought to incorporate into his messages those things that are necessary and proper for going to church and how to conduct yourself when you're there. And so I got about seven or eight little things here real briefly. Well, I could easily preach an hour message on these 8 points, but I'm going to condense them and give you the Reader Digest version. 8 things that I think you ought to teach children, or children ought to be taught about church attendance. Because if we don't teach them, they won't know how to behave. Now, I'll be absolutely honest with you. We have a nursery back there, and it's against my principles to have a nursery. I don't think there ought to be a nursery in church. We have a nursery simply because we have parents that either cannot or will not discipline their children. Any normal child can be taught in a few Sundays to sit reasonably still or go to sleep or to play quietly beside his mother's side in the church service. Nursery should never be necessary. We have one because we have ladies who have children who allow them to play with toys back there on the floor and crawl down the aisle down here to the second pew, and everybody in the church on Sunday morning is watching that little kid down there on the floor, and they're not listening to one thing I say. And it was either run all them people off, which I really don't want to do, or put a nursery in. So we have a nursery, but I don't like it. And if parents were to do what they're supposed to, if they were to teach and train and discipline their children in 4 or 5 Sundays, they'd have them little rascals, they'd know that when they walk in this building, they're supposed to sit down and shut up. Amen. If mom and daddy would jerk them up, take them outside, blitz their little bottom, make them quit snubbing, bring them back in here and sit them down. And if they start misbehaving, pick them up, take it. You wouldn't have to do it for just 4 or 5 times. If they just be real consistent and real firm, them kids would get the idea in no time. Amen. But you've got mamas and daddies that think it's child abuse anymore to swat Junior on the butt. And, of course, one of these days they'll have a little monster on their hand and they'll wish to God that they had spanked them. All right, let me give you these 8 things real brief. Things that children ought to be taught about church. First thing is children ought to be taught that church is to be attended regularly. Hebrews 10:25, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Children ought to come to church on a regular basis, Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night, unless they are providentially hindered. That means mom and dad were in a wreck and they're in the hospital dying. Or close to it. That what it means is you don't lay out a church because there's a special on television. You don't lay out a church because you got a bit of a headache or an upset tummy. The best rule of thumb I know is this. If it would not keep you from work, it should not keep you from church. If you would work with it, you ought to go to church with it. Amen. Now, that's sometimes you ought to miss church. You got something that's communicable. Have some common sense. Don't come down here and give it to 40 other people. Amen. The people you work with wouldn't want you to come down and give them your pneumonia or flu or whatever you got. I mean, have a little common sense. But all too often, we are way too quick on the trigger to lay out a church. And that sets a bad example and a bad precedent for children because they learn that any excuse is excuse enough not to go to the house of God. And so they need to be taught by precept and by example to be regular attenders at the house of God. Then our text verse 15 there, says how they ought to behave in it. Now, I hate churches where everybody stands outside the door and smokes their cigarettes and tells jokes and laughs and cuts up. And when they come through that back door, all of a sudden, they're in this mystical, spiritual atmosphere where everybody's got a whisper. And everything's holy. And all the jokes, shh, be quiet. Don't make any noise. You're in the sanctuary. Oh, bat feathers. This is a rented building. Amen. It's not any more holy than the sidewalk out there. Other than in the sense that we have set it aside as a place to worship God. You ought to be able to come down here and enjoy it yourself. I don't want an atmosphere in this church where any adult or any child is intimidated from coming because they're going to have to be so quiet or so holy or so reverential. That's nonsense. We come down here to fellowship. We come down here to worship God and to enjoy one another's company. And when you put on that fake spirituality, nobody enjoys anything. A church ought to be a place where the children can come and enjoy themselves. Now, I also believe things ought to be done decently in order. I don't think they ought to be allowed to run up and down and tear the walls up and rip the pictures off the walls and stand on the pew, you know. I think we ought to take care of it. We've dedicated it to God. But at the same time, we ought to be able to relax and converse and enjoy ourselves in here. Amen? And so children need to be taught that. So we ought to maintain an atmosphere in the church that is relaxed and comfortable and congenial, and at the same time have enough respect for the property and the other people that we don't yell and scream, we don't run and shout, we don't push and shove. We don't. Just good citizenship is what it amounts to. It's just proper respect for other people and other people's property. Of course, if they got taught that at home and they got taught that at school, it'd be a whole lot easier to teach them that at church. Somebody say amen. Now, so they ought to be taught how to behave in it. Now, people go to extremes. Man, these days, folks will bring kids into church and they come in with their pillow, their blanket, and their toy box. Their coloring books and their crayons. And you need a pew for each kid to unload his junk so that we can entertain him for 45 minutes. That's nonsense. Bring that little rascal in here with nothing. Sit him down with his mama and his daddy, not with his friends. When I pastored in Virginia Beach, we had a rule. If you were 16 years old or younger, you sit with your parents. Now, they didn't like it, but it really worked great. Amen. Those kids ought to be able to come into church and be instructed and taught how to sit down, sit quietly, sit reverently. I don't think you've got to bring them in and make them a statue out of them. Don't move. Don't. That's nonsense. On the one hand, we've got folks that bring all the toys and all the goodies in, and they turn the church service into playtime. And then on the other hand, you've got this group of folks that want the kid to come in. They don't want him to move. They don't want him to scratch. They don't want him to pick his nose. They don't want him to cough. They don't want him to squirm. Listen, you are not going to get a little kid to sit that kind of still. Not unless you give him about 3 ounces of Paragort before you get here. I mean, drug him, and you may pull it off. But a normal kid is not going to sit in this room with the only activity, some maniac frothing at the mouth, and sit perfectly still for 45 minutes from now. It ain't going to happen. There's a balance between the two. As long as they're not disruptive, let them wiggle a little. Let them move. Listen, I get tired of sitting in one place for 45 minutes. I like to shift weight from side to side from time to time. Amen. Have a little common sense. But those children can come in here without toys. They can sit reasonably still and reasonably quiet for 45 minutes and not disrupt the service without having to have their toy box with them. Amen. So they need to be taught that they're quiet and they're reverent during the services. If they want to be energetic and move and participate, then let them sing joyfully and wave their hands during the song service. Amen. Point number three is that they need to be taught that the church belongs to Jesus Christ. Acts 20:28. And because it belongs to Christ, it is not theirs to tear up. It is not theirs to do with as they please. I go in a lot of churches. We do a lot of work for a lot of big churches. I go in them all the time. And it's a shame and a disgrace the way young people tear church buildings up. They got no respect for the property. And of course, they don't have any respect at home. They don't have any at school, so you know they're not going to have any church. And the pastor and the deacons and the leadership in most of the churches isn't going to say anything to somebody, little Johnny or Susie, because they're afraid mom and daddy will get mad and leave the church and they'll lose their tithe. We're not going to do that here. You let your little monster tear something up and watch me scold him. And if you don't like it, you can take your little kid and move on down the street where they don't mind you tearing up their stuff. The people that bought this and paid for it work hard for the money. And we're not going to allow a bunch of children who are undisciplined to tear it up. I don't think that's unreasonable. I don't think that's harsh. Amen. They ought to be taught that this belongs to God Almighty, and because it belongs to Him and set aside for His service, then it ought to be respected as the property of God. And at the very least, that it should be considered somebody else's property and get the respect due anybody else's property. You want to tear something up? Tear your own junk up. Amen. Children need to be taught that church attendance is more important than fun, sports, games, jobs, cars, dates, birthday parties, etc., 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 etc. What do you mean? That means they ought to come to church. Say, well, they got a football game Wednesday night. Skip the football game. Well, Cousin Johnny is having his 14th birthday party Sunday night. Don't go. He said, well, he can go to church 52 weeks a year. That's exactly how many times you ought to go. 52 Sunday mornings, 52 Sunday nights, 52 Wednesday nights. Now, there's a real danger in you letting Johnny or Susie skip church to participate in other activities. What's the danger? The danger is that he'll get it in his head that other things are as important as, or more important than, church attendance. Now, on the one hand, we say serving God is the most critically important thing in any Christian's life. God ought to come first. And then we make a whole string of exceptions. Well, this school activity and that school activity and this party, and the first thing you know, that kid's gotten in the back of his head, church is important, but only just so important. Other things are as important. And on certain circumstances, on certain occasions, they are more important than church. Now, you've done your child a real disservice when you put that in his head. You, yourself, as an adult, ought to be faithful to the house of God, except in those situations where it is really and truly not practical or wise to attend. And you ought to make sure them kids come with you. They ought to see that you come when you don't feel good. They ought to see that you come when you're tired. They ought to see that you come when there's other things you'd like to do. Because the service of God is the most important service in your life. They need to be taught that. They don't learn that naturally. You have to beat it into their head over about 25 or 30 years. And believe me, you won't have to make too many exceptions to convince them otherwise. Now, they ought to be taught that it's a privilege to come to church. Psalm 122, verse 1. Listen, there are countless nations around this world where you can't attend church, where you can't take a Bible and tuck it under your arm and walk down to the corner or get in your car and drive across town and walk in a building and hear somebody sing the songs of Zion, sing the praises of God, and hear somebody preach the truth from a Bible. It's a real privilege you have. It's a blessing from God Almighty that you live in a land where you have the freedom and the privilege to worship God, to read His Bible, and to sing His songs anytime you want to. It's a real privilege. And so you are to convey to those young people, those children, what a privilege they have, and not to ignore it, not to belittle it. Amen? Then children ought to be taught to give in the house of God. Mark 12:41. Now, I don't like making a big thing about money, but if you don't teach children to tithe when they're little, they won't tithe. Listen to me. You can't have a child attend church from the time he's 5, 6, 7, 8 years old until he's 18 or 20 years old, and he gets married and starts attending on his own. If you don't teach him the right things, he won't know the right things, and therefore he will not participate in the right thing. And if you don't teach him to give when he's little, he will not give when he gets old. And if folks don't give, the work doesn't get done. The missionaries we support won't be supported. The outreaches that the church participates in will have to go by the wayside if we don't have the money. The facilities will run down and fall apart if we don't have the money to pay for them and to maintain them. And so as unpleasant as the subject of giving is to some people, it's absolutely essential. I honestly believe that moms and dads ought to make sure that the children have money to put in every time mom and dad put in. The children ought to see mom and dad give. Then they ought to be taught to emulate, to copy what mom and dad do, so that giving is as natural as attending. I'm serious with a heart attack. When mom and dad put that little envelope or whatever it is in the plate, Johnny ought to have a little envelope put in the plate. He ought to be prepared to give when he comes to the house of God, just like he prepares all week to come to the house of God. Now, here at King James, we only take one offering a week. We don't badger about money. We don't make a big deal out of it. We spend all we can. It takes money. But we give everybody opportunity Sunday morning to give. And then we don't say anything about it, unless it happens to come up in a message like this. We don't make a big deal about money. But that child, when you come in here on Sunday morning and you bring your children with you, they ought to see you give to the work of God. They ought to be taught to tithe. They ought to be taught to give on a regular basis. So how much should they be taught to give? 10% of everything they get. Same as you give. Now you owe the 10%. An offering is above the tithe. The tithe is 10% of the first fruits of your increase. That's 10% of the gross. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, they tithe off the net. Well, that's fine. When you get your income tax return, when you get your Christmas bonus, you make sure you put 10% of that too, so that it comes out, it'll come out the same. Amen. I mean, if you give 10% after taxes and all that comes out of it, you make sure when you take the tax return, you get 10% off that too. Hello? And you teach those children from their youth up to attend the house of God, to behave in the house of God, to reverence the house of God, and to give in the house of God. They don't give to the radio ministry. They don't give to the television evangelist. Now, if you want to give to the television evangelist and radio preacher, then when you get sick or you need somebody at the hospital or you need a funeral preached or you want somebody married, you call the TV and radio evangelist. Amen? Last thing is this. Children ought to be taught to dress properly for church. Now, if there's anything that aggravates me in Southern Christianity, it's the way people dress. Or, more properly, the way they don't dress. Down south, they got this idea. Oh, that's Malachi chapter 1, verse 6 is a reference. They got the idea that God loves me just like I am, and God don't care what I wear. God's looking on my heart, not on the outward appearance. That's only half true. Now, God does look on the heart, and man has to look on the outward appearance. But God sees all of it. He sees where you go. He sees what you do. He sees who you go with. And He sees how you look. Now, in Malachi chapter 1, the discourse there is the honor due a person of respect or a person who is entitled on. The Bible said, honor to whom honor. And over there in Malachi chapter 1, He said, if I be a great king, where is mine honor? He said, take your offering now, what you're offering me, and offer it to your king or to the governor, and see if he'll accept it. Now, the idea in that thing in Malachi is, God is aggravated because they're giving him second best. They're giving him the leftovers. He said, now, I'm supposed to be a great king. You're supposed to love me, and I'm a father, and I'm due honor and respect. Where is it at? Go and treat your governor or the king or whoever the leadership is. You go and treat them and give to them what you offer to me and see if they'll accept it. Amen. Now listen to me. You know what folks do down south? We're going to get some little old snotty-nosed boy and some little old stringy-headed girl and marry them. And you know what everybody in the whole countryside will do? They'll wear a coat and tie. I'm talking about Mill Hill kids these days getting married, and they want to wear tucks and all kind of stuff. It's just nonsense, you know. They're getting way above their raising. But everybody that comes to the wedding wouldn't dare show up in his dungarees and a flannel shirt. Why? Well, they don't want to embarrass the bride, or they don't want to embarrass the groom. It's a special day. And so as much as I hate these chokers and all that, they're going to put on a coat and tie. They're going to put on a really nice dress to go down to that wedding ceremony. Amen. If you had a conference with the governor of South Carolina, you wouldn't go down there in your dungarees and your flannel shirt. You go home and shower and shave and gargle with Listerine and slick your hair back with the Vitalis and all the rest of it and shine your shoes and put on a white shirt and a tie, and you'd look your best when you went to meet the governor or the president. Why? Well, they're men of reputation. They're big shot political figures, and their office demands a certain amount of respect. The way we show respect in our society is to dress appropriately. Is that right? Am I right? I'm right. You know I'm right. And then that same clunk wants to come down to the house of God and worship the God of glory in his sweatshirt. That's not right. Now listen, I prefer folks coming in sweatshirts and dungarees to not coming at all. I do. But they ought to grow up sometime. Amen. We ought to teach our children from the time they're little that it's a privilege and a blessing to attend the house of God, and that we conduct ourselves in a certain way while we're there. We venerate the place. We show respect for the place. And we dress to show honor to the person being worshipped. Now, in Western society, proper attire for a formal occasion is a coat and tie for a man. And a dress, very modest dress, for a lady. That's the reason. Now, I don't make a big issue out of it much anymore because people's got their lives so messed up that we put dress on a lower priority level than I used to. I used to make a big deal out of it. I still think folks ought to dress appropriately for church. You ought to put on what they call their Sunday go-to-meeting clothes, or what they used to call down south, their Sunday best. Because we come down here to worship the God of glory, the great King, our Heavenly Father, and He is entitled. He's due honor and respect. And we show that. And by the way, when you come down here looking like a bum and say, oh, it don't matter, God don't, you show contempt for God. That's a real pet peeve of mine. It just aggravates me. I go to churches all the time, and the pastors don't preach on it. They don't ever say anything about it. So when I'm in their church, I don't say anything about it. It's their business. But it ain't right. You ought to dress appropriately for the house of God. And the way you do that, you don't wait until they're 20 years old and say, okay, now listen, you're a man now. You can't dress like a bum anymore. You got to dress like a man of God. You got everything children learn, you need to start them as young as you can.
Amen.
We have two deacons. You notice they both have on ties tonight. What was one of the requirements, gentlemen, before you could become deacons? They have to wear ties. When they come to church, they had to wear ties. He says, that make them more holy? Oh, well, good night. There ain't no way to make Mark preach after holy. I mean, it just can't be done. I don't think you could do anything to make Tommy holy, honey. But just set an example. We want them to look appropriately attired. We want them to look like gentlemen. We don't want them to look like bums. We don't want them to look laid back. In case your kid happens to be having their eye on our deacons or on the preacher, we don't want them to be a bad example. Amen. Now, Brother Tommy's one of them fellows, when he first started coming here, he didn't wear no tie. But he couldn't be a deacon without a tie. Because we're concerned about the impression that we put in people's minds, in particular, young people. And moms and dads do their children a great disservice by not requiring that they dress appropriate for where they're going. Listen, if you was going to a football game, you dress appropriate for that. Amen. I heard folks talking the other week. They were going down to Northwestern football game, and they got down there and it rained, and they were out in the rain for 3 or 4 hours because their son was in the band. Well, they knew it was going to. You know what they did? They knew it was going to be cold. They knew it was going to be wet. So when they got ready to go to the football game, they put on rubber galoshes, they put on sweatsuits, and they all took rain slickers. They dressed appropriately for the activity that they were engaged in. The activity here is to worship the God of glory. And we ought to show Him the respect to take the time and the trouble to give Him our very best. Amen. And those are some things that children ought to be taught about church. Now see, I did that very well. I did not get carried away, and I did not spend an hour and a half.